It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying.
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates. Check out our online store for ways to donate and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast. In this episode of the It's Going Down podcast, we were lucky enough to catch up with the people involved in Low LV Camp, which is fighting the construction of the BioBridge Pipeline, a project run by Energy Transfer Partners, the same company behind the Dakota Access Pipeline. In the heart of the swamp itself, we discuss what has been happening with the camp in the past 6 months, since we last talked with water protectors involved in the resistance to the BioBridge Pipeline. ETP goons have harassed and attacked water protectors, coming into protest sites and pointing guns at unarmed people. They have also removed tree sits and other structures, often putting people's lives in danger. In the background, a series of court rulings have also ruled against pipeline construction, yet the pipeline continues to be built. Also, a new anti-protest bill has been rammed through the courts, which makes even trespassing on pipeline property a felony. Despite this, resistance to the pipeline continues, and people are needed now more than ever. In the face of the coming together of corporate, police, and state power, let us imagine a growing and evolving resistance movement that can defeat one of the most opposed pipelines in modern history.
So thanks for sitting down and doing this interview with It's Going Down. It's been about 6 months since people involved in this campaign have talked to the folks that do this particular podcast. So one of the opening questions is just, what have been the major developments over the last 6 months, like since the winter time? What would you say some of the major like milestones have been of the pipeline and of the campaign against it?
Well, I mean, I would say that we've won on multiple levels. That's what's so crazy about this is we've been, you know, Steven staying within their game and their laws that they decided to write and that they back up or supposedly or whatever. We won on the federal level. We won a federal injunction, which has never really happened before here. And then went on to have them overturn that in appeals, 2-1. And then we won, and we're still waiting on that court case to come back up on its merit, you know. Then we won on the state level, and they said for the first time ever that an environmental justice concern in the St. James community who needs an evacuation runway out, that the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources did not take this freed slave founded community into consideration, the damages that they've had, the asthmas, the cancers, they're a cancer alley community, that they did not take that into effect, and they shouldn't, and that ETP, Bayou Bridge, should never have received that permit. We won that too. And yet ETP continues to put their pipe in the ground in St. James, you know, yet they still continue to go across the basin and put that pipe in, even though we won that injunction the first time. And then, so here we are now on people's, the land of some landowners that are there that invited us to be on that land. And now they've passed laws that are going after us and giving us felonies, criminalizing us even more. And it's because, you know, we've been so darn effective, for my opinion. Well, here we are now on land we're invited to be in, not in their fake easement. They don't even have permission to be there. They didn't even, like, they haven't even expropriated the land. They don't even go to court on that till November 27th. That's their laws. That's their plan for things, you know. And we're there, and what's happening is they're using the St. Martin Parish Police Department, the Sheriff's Office, as a tool, as a weapon, by buying them and then using them and our taxpayer-funded equipment that we buy for them back against us, see? So we've won on the state level, the local level, the federal level, and now on a civil level. And we still, that pipe is going in the ground, and still these systems, these fake-ass colonial systems, are backing up this horrible, disgusting company. The same company, this is the tail end of DAPL, the same company that sprayed people with water and freezing temperatures, same company that put our elders on the ground, locked them into cages, the same company that injured children, injured people, is down here doing the exact same thing in the bayous and in the swamps. And we've stopped them at every turn, and still that pipe is laying in the ground. And the biggest only reason I can come up with is there's just not enough of us down here fighting.
One thing that's hard for a lot of people to understand is that the pipeline company is, as you just said, being physically built even though it's being told not to. How is this possible? Like, are they even being fined? Do the courts just not matter?
The system's a farce. It's corrupt. It's not real. It's an illusion. And anybody with any kind of sense or has ever fought this battle knows that, you know. I mean, some people might even say it's crazy for us to keep trying, but all I know is how to fight. That's the only thing I know how to do. And I know one day we will prevail, too. But on the face of it, it sure does look like, you know, hope is an elusive thing. But then I see people stand up like they have in the last few days and face it all and, like, in the same manner that the people face down those dogs at Standing Rock. We saw people this weekend face down overwhelming forces of police with semi-automatic machine guns and stealing our stuff and ripping up our tents and chasing us around and charging people with felonies and leaving people hanging from a rope without food and water. We see that. We saw that same thing. And you know what? That was, what, over a year ago with Standing Rock, and the people down here are still standing and fighting DAPL, you know? So when I see people continue to do that, I know that someday we will win. Because there's no way not to, you know. They win now because everybody's bought into this stupid illusion. But it's not going to be here forever because the people like the people that I witnessed in the last few days ain't going to let it, so.
You've mentioned the police and the pipeline company and some of how they work together. Do people have more thoughts about how what the relationship is between Energy Transfer Partners and the local police here?
Yeah, do you want to go?
Well, our experience has been collusion between the two departments. You know, between the department, the police department, and Energy Transfer Partners. And it's been historical. You know, we've seen these partnerships happen throughout since colonialism. Basically, you know, it's still happening, and we're still resisting because, you know, if we don't do it, well, actually, there's no option. We have to do it. We're doing it. Yeah. Yeah. There's no other option to not do it. When we went to Standing Rock, folks went to Standing Rock. And after folks left Standing Rock, the marching orders were to take what you learned and go to your community, go home, wherever you came from to support, go, and do the same work. To continue to do that work and do it even better. So we're doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the police just sit, like, they'll just sit on the sidelines and just be like an escort for the workers to basically direct what's going on. And also for people that are just, like, the people leading them are just total assholes and, like, really awful. And they're just, the police are just passively, like, witnessing that. And for a while it was the DOC officers and, like, not even, like, people from the sheriff's office. And they're also, like, working overtime to do that, so they're not... Yeah, they're just, like, passive escorts for it, basically. And, like, yeah, even a cop said... And this cop also, like, had a swastika tattoo, like, on his arm, basically, and someone asked him, where are y'all coming from? And he's like, oh, we're coming from the swamp. We're security for the pipeline there. So it's like they're just like, they just roll over for them and like give legitimacy to whatever the workers want to do.
Sorry, I'm going to pull up my next question. So we've already seen a number of people being charged on the ground with this new felony. For folks that don't know, can y'all kind of describe this new law that came into effect a couple weeks ago? You know, it seems pretty serious. And what kind of legal fight should we expect to see around these new felonies?
Yeah, so this was an ALEC created bill that's in, at the time that it was voted in, we were state number 11 here in Louisiana to do that. And we threw a skillful little set of organizing, were able to punch it down a lot. There was conspiracy things that were put in there that really would have, like, you know, been much worse. But even with what it was, what is left, what it did is it elevated pipelines to critical infrastructure, and by doing that made laws were created to where if you are protesting on critical infrastructure, including now pipelines, then you can get between 5 to 20 years if you get that felony. The thing about it is, with the people that have been, we've had I want to say nine people now who are have been charged under that law. And not one of them, not one single one of them was actually on the easement at the time that they're being charged with that law. And in fact, on this last property, where we have permission by the landowners to be there, that the ETP does not have permission to be there on, people were hundreds or thousands of feet off the easement at the time on property that the landowner had given them permission to be there. Not even just to be there. Their words, and what we have in that letter, is that they want us there to fight this fight. They said to go and protest the Bayou Bridge pipeline. So it's a situation where the landowners are very solid and specific in what they want and don't want to see on their property. But ETP is actively constructing on that property anyway. And not only are they constructing, they're using it as a gateway to the rest of the pipeline by moving pipe through that space on a conveyor belt to everyone else. So if we stopped what was happening there, which we did, as a matter of fact, we've stopped work in the basin for 38 days straight in one way or another, through either kayak actions or tree actions or whatever, or being on this property right here. But if we stopped that conveyor on that property, then it would stop the entire pipeline. And that's why they came down so hard on us in the last few days. And that's why they have these felonies out here, is because, like I said before, they created the laws. We worked within the laws to exercise our constitutional rights or whatever, and then they either changed the laws or they hardened the laws and harshed and criminalized the people who are doing it. And that's all based on their colonial, patriarchal, capitalist bullshit.
And also, I've just been really inspired by the way people have figured out how to still successfully stop construction even with that law, and like by constructing things off the easement, by like being able to do this on these people's land. Like, there are still many ways that we're able to like continue fighting that, and that's been inspiring. And also that them just like giving those felony charges even though it's like completely illegal is another example of the police just cooperating with the company and like basically being able to do whatever they want and using that to try to like kick people out of being present to fight, because it's like a way to knock off people, I think.
Yeah. Y'all have been mentioning the last few days on in the swamp, in the Atchafalaya Basin, where you've been encamped on some people's land who've given you permission to be there. Can you talk a little bit about the events that transpired with this new tree sit and the really violent eviction of that and terrorizing of that by the police? Can you guys speak to what it was like on the ground there during this last couple days of actions?
Yeah, so we made a tree sit that was on the property that we are allowed to be on. And it was connected to pipe that was submerged underwater, which was pretty cool. And basically this pipe was connected on a conveyor belt. They have a launch where they're welding the pipe and then pushing it along a great distance, like along this conveyor belt. And so we were able to shut down like several miles and several welding sites just with this like simple tree sit, which was, yeah, and like that's a huge deal. There were like over 100 workers that showed up and were all sent home. And like welding's also a really expensive part of the process. And so that upset them a lot, so they just reacted in like a very forceful way and gave a bunch of people felonies even though they were on private property, and tried to isolate the people that were in the trees to not have ground support. And the ground support's critical for advocating for the people and making sure they're safe, like providing those like material resources they need.
Yeah, so with all the people that have been in each case, we had an issue too before this even where they had people on the water. See, we have navigable waterways in the swamp, in the Chaffee Basin, which is the largest natural swamp in North America. 80% of all migratory birds go to this beautiful, magical place. If you've never been in the swamp, then you're missing out because it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. But we had people that were out there in these navigable waters, which means it's public property. Everybody has a right to be there. And our camp, one of our camps out there was on state land too. And so people were coming out of there to do, they would just kayak around because by law, these chippers that are just mass cutting through these like 1,000-year-old cypress trees and whatnot and displacing all this wildlife out there, had to stop when people were on the water or close because some of the chips from the trees could come off and hit someone, so it was a danger, a liability. So we had people just out there on that water, and they couldn't do anything about it. And it was like weeks, you know, like a couple of weeks, I guess, we were out there just going straight. And the next thing you know, they come by with their fan boats, and they push these people, these kayakers, off into like a side space, which, by the way, was still navigable waters by definition. But at that point, they grabbed them harshly out of their canoes, pulled them onto the fan boats, which is also dangerous. Those fan boats capsize pretty easily, and then drug them to the easement. And I say physically drug. You can watch the video. It was violent, and two women, one male, they bring them to the, they drag them to the easement, and then they called the St. Martin Parish Sheriff's Office. This was when the DOC was doing it. And then they were charged with felony being on the easement. Like, they were totally, set up or whatnot. And then we come back to this other space where, again, we see people being set up and being hit with felonies when they're not. That comes down to the district attorney and to the police department. Because now, because the DOC couldn't do their own arresting, now they've directly gone to the St. Martin Parish Sheriff's Office, and they've hired them to come. One of our guys had a semi-automatic weapon, shoved in his face just last week. The guy said, "I'm making a legal arrest." He's like, "Well, actually, no, you're making an illegal arrest." But that's the point, is that they're trying to say, we can do this. We can make this arrest because they've been given that power by the people, and it's being used as a tool by this horrible company, ETP. So that's what we've been facing, and when I say that, I don't mean in any poetic terms that we have been facing off with that in very low numbers against very well outfitted and great in numbers forces, and we've been winning. We've been winning. Like someone had compared us to Zapatistas, which I thought was funny because someone said, "No, we're Swampatistas," you know, because they're out in the swamp. But we have been, man. These people don't know how to be out in the woods, you know. They're not in that way. They live in these air-conditioned spaces. And so we've been kind of, for the most part, largely just like running circles around them when we're out there and stuff. And that feels pretty gratifying, if I'm being real about that, you know, that to see how these low numbers can still have such great successes, you know, against these gigantic, you know, whatevers. They have to change whole laws in order to defeat us, and they still haven't, you know. It's a pretty badass shit, if you ask me. But, so the last few days we've been dealing with the backlash of being so damn effective. They know that there's no way they can defeat us unless they cheat. So they're cheating.
For those of you that have lived in this area for a while and have perspective outside of just this campaign, what do you think it will take for more local folks to see the destruction that the pipeline is causing and to get involved either now or in the future against oil infrastructure in Louisiana?
I think if people start seeing other people being brave and stepping up to it, that they will also join and step up. Because we do have a lot of support, but it's people are sitting back and aren't, maybe they're not ready or something, but I don't know. I think we, you know, we keep moving forward and showing our successes and showing that we're not afraid, you know, because that's how things change. That's how you make things happen. And we've got like really amazing crew out here. And I know there's a lot of people out there that want to join us and help us too. But I'm not sure why they don't want to come out of the woodwork, but now's the time, guys. Now's the time. We know how to get around. Come on. Nobody's afraid, you know. And I aren't afraid, really.
I do think that is changing. Like, it's slow, and it's been, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we definitely are seeing locals. Like, I got to say, nobody's really seen a lot of this sort of resistance or direct action like this happening, and nobody believed it could happen in the swamp. I mean, the people who live there, the police, the companies themselves, even some of our own fighters or whatever, they just thought it was just too big a call. You know, it's not a very unforgiving and also breathtaking space, you know, and we've done that. And I think, like you said, like seeing an example of that has really, really been important. One of our goals when all this started was to build a community of people who want to take direct action for our Mother Earth in the Gulf of Mexico, in South Louisiana specifically. And that goal has been achieved, and we're only growing. So I'm very proud of what we've done, and I'm very proud even of our numbers, even though sometimes, you know, it feels like when you're on the line that those numbers are kind of low. I know by the number of people who swing by our island and bring us a sack of catfish, or that just have kind things to say, that we are making a difference in that way, and that they are feeling that the truth, which is the sacrifices that people are making out there and the consequences that we're dealing with, is just nothing but pure love for them and for that for the community there and for all our communities across South Louisiana. You can't feel that and not be changed by it.
So what would y'all say to someone who's thinking about coming out and fighting with y'all in the swamps?
Get your ass out here. Bring some bug spray.
Resist at nobbbp.org. That's what I'd say. Come on.
It's like pretty unpredictable. It's been hard to prepare people because things are unpredictable. So I would be ready and ask questions and, you know, feel secure in like what kind of risks you want to take. And it's a really great group of people. It's like really solid people, and you should come.
And we can win. We can win. We keep winning. That's what they're so afraid of. If we had the numbers, and, you know, there's just a lot. I think a lot of times people see, like, in the middle of the fight or whatever, or see something, they think that there's nothing left to fight for. My God, you only have to spend, like, 15 seconds out in that swamp to realize all the beautiful things that's worth fighting for in that little piece of land, you know. And even just here in South Louisiana, you know. It's everything. If we win here, then we've won in, like, one of the most hostile, oil-soaked places in the world. And the fact that we are winning, that's everything, too.
We know that Southern Louisiana, the swamps of Southern Louisiana, have been a home for indigenous people, for marooned people, for people trying to find freedom outside of colonialism and outside of capitalism for hundreds of years. And I was just wondering if you had anything to share about your feelings about ancestors involved in this fight, or how the land is welcoming to this kind of struggle. That's an intense question. Only if you feel comfortable sharing.
Well, I can say that the work that we're doing, we move forward knowing that we're never alone out there and that our ancestors are always with us.
And it always seems to rain when the cops are coming and they go away.
Yes,
I think
true.
That's a sign. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like when I'm out there, a lot of times, you know, I can feel it. Like, I don't know, like, You can call it what you want to, the spirit, the ancestors. That swamp is a living thing. It's breeze. It moves all the time. Like, there's a music, there's joy, there's dancing, like 24/7. And in that, I can see the same, like, joyous resistance that we've seen for hundreds of years in all of our families and communities, but especially in indigenous communities who are forced into the swamps to resist, in freed slave communities or people who ran away from slavery and who had whole maroon colonies out in those swamps. That swamp has always been the home of joyous resistance and violins and deep under those trees, you know, and deep in those cypress trees, you know. And there's nothing new that's happening there except for the fact that in this time, 2018, that's the only difference. But when you're there, and I'm not saying this to be romantic or jokingly, but you can damn sure feel those spirits all around you, lifting you up and giving you that strength. Otherwise, I don't think we could do it. It's not... it's hot, there's a bunch of mosquitoes or whatever, you know. If it wasn't for the fact that deep into the night, you feel and understand that deeper sense of being, it would never have happened, and we would never have been able to sustain this long, I don't think.
I also think being there in this context is a really, like, it's a really unique way to experience that environment and, like, get to know, like, those trees and plants and, like, feel connected to that. That's really only possible in, like, this kind of, like, fighting with people to save it. And it's different than just camping there, and it's, like, mm-hmm. a different kind of connection that is really special. That's beautiful. Any other final thoughts or words that y'all want to share?
Just much love to everybody who's supported us or continues to support us in whatever way, whether that's donating to the legal fund or coming down and being part of us. We've had a lot of people that can only give a couple of days or a week or a month or whatever who've come in and out, and you should know that we still consider you family, and when we talk about us, that's you're who we're talking about too, and you know who you are. So much love to you, and I'm sure I'll see you around the bend. And if you're here and you're still planning on coming, now's the time. That company says they're going to be done with construction by the end of October. I highly doubt that, especially with how we're rolling out. But there is a finite level to this. Once we've won, then you're going to feel bad that you missed it. So come on out.
That's great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us, and follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.